So did I make those questions too tricky? I guess I did. You know what? I did it on purpose because I thought you guys would go through it because I already knew the answers because I put them together, so I thought they were easy, but I guess they weren't easy. But then I looked down the other day when I didn't have the answers, and I thought, these are pretty hard. What's that?
You didn't know the answers either?
No, I don't know them now. I did what I put together, but I don't either. I don't. Yeah, but what is really the true right answer? Because what you've done may not be the thing you're supposed to be doing. That's what I think all the time. I always get messed up on the left-hand turn thing. I never know who's supposed to go first. I just wait. If they don't go, I go. That's how I do it. All right, ladies. Well, welcome to the breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. You know, I've been really praying and hope, right? And I start putting this teaching together, and then, you know, then I start praying, and God kind of switched on me. Always pray before you do the teaching, before you put it together. It's always a good thing, because then you don't waste so much time. But, you know, my heart right now is for prayer, and that we really become prayer warriors, that we go before God, and we pray, not just with petitions, but with an eagerness, a hunger, and a desire to know Him, and an eagerness and a desire to hear His voice. And before we start, I'm going to have Sarah play a song that I just found. You know, it's probably been out there. You guys have probably heard it forever. But it's a third day song. I just love it. You know, it's about the fire of God. So I want you guys to just stand up and to worship and get excited, all right? Because God is something we need to be excited about. All right. And crank it up, Sarah. Crank it high.
I'm running for your heart till I am so on
day when I am a soul on fire.
Pull them closer to you, Lord God. That you would pull them closer to you. We just bind up any fears in the name of Jesus. Any apprehensions in the name of Jesus. Any selfishness in the name of Jesus. We just bind up all those things that are ungodly. And we pray, Lord, that they would have ears to hear and hearts to receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm out of breath. On fire, woo! All right. You know, one of the things is we have people, and our women, they pray. But I'll tell you what, we don't always hear. You know, it's really hard to sit still and hear God. You know, and I'll tell you what, I would rather move around, but to be still before Him. It's a hard thing. It's a real hard thing. And, you know, God's given me some hard lessons on hearing, you know, because as you know, my granddaughter is deaf. And so I've watched her. And then I've also watched her with those cochlear implants. And she's, you know, Laura just asked me about her talking and, you know, is she talking more or whatever. But she's starting to hear. You know, Christy watches her. Rachel had watched her. And, you know, you see a difference because now you can tell her what to do and she does it. Before, you'd have to, you know, do like a whole pantomime. But when you don't hear, there's things that happen. And when she was young and she was little, we really didn't know what was going on. You know, there was an autistic word thrown out, all sorts of things. But I never thought that because she always loved to be touched. She always wanted to be, you know, have you touch and tickle her. You know, when I would sing to her, she'd put her head right next to my mouth. And I thought, oh, she likes my singing. You know, she didn't even hear it, so I guess she didn't like it too much. But, you know, she was drawing close because she wanted that love, but she couldn't hear it. She couldn't hear everything that I tried to tell her, how much I loved her, how much everybody loved her, what a wonderful girl she was, blah, 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 all those things. She couldn't hear that. She couldn't hear any of that. So, you know, her relationships are a little imbalanced because she can't hear direction. She can't hear how to do things. She can't hear those things. She's off when it comes to the polite things, you know? I mean, she's just now saying thank you, and she'll say it, and she'll do this. But, you know, it's a long time coming because she doesn't understand the concept of thank you. Just give it to me. I want it. Give it to me. You know, I want that, you know? Now she's doing that. But she doesn't understand those things. And then we expect to understand the things, the kingdom of God, and we don't listen to them. We just want to be touched. We want to be petted. We want to be caressed. But we don't want to hear. We don't want the direction. We don't want that direction for our life. Because you know what? It might mess with the direction we're going in. It might mess with what we think is right. We want to pray the way we want to pray. We want people to think a certain thing of us. But to do it in the right and the godly way, we got to hear His voice and hear His direction. You know, people who don't hear well are off balance. My husband is only hears in one ear well. He misses the same step going up the stairs, especially when he's tired. You know, I'm laying in bed and I'm wondering who's going up, and then I hear that pump pump. I go, oh, it's my husband. You know, because he's a little off balance. When he gets tired, you can see it a little bit. But yet, I mean, you see him playing guitar and doing major things, turning around, keeping the rhythm and all that stuff going, and you don't see it. And then my granddaughter was very off balance, especially when she was younger, till she got her second implant, and she's still working on that balance. But, I mean, I thought she was going to run into a wall, bang her head. I mean, she'd be running. She just missed things by that much. She'd fall over, trip over her own feet. And it had to do with the hearing, not hearing God. And when we don't hear God, we're off balance. We may not be tripping, but we're off balance in our decision-making abilities. We're off balance in our relationships. We're off balance in the things that count. We want to be counted as warriors for Christ, but we're off balance. We don't know what direction to go. We just mindlessly pray, and we don't know what He wants. God wants us to hear His voice and to know Him. You know, and as I was praying, I got a word. Let me find that word. Oh, here it is, right in front of me. If I put my glasses on, I could see it. You know, and I'm praying, and He gave me that scripture. It's in like three of the Gospels about do not put new wine into old wineskins. And I'm like, why did You give us that? You know, we're all, you know, saved, filled with the Spirit, and says that the new wine will ferment and the old skins will burst. And a lot of us are stuck in our old ways. We are in our old ways and we want the old things to happen. We don't want the new things to happen. We're afraid to be made completely new in Christ. We're afraid to really sit before our Father because, you know, our experiences with our Father hasn't really been that great. So Father, that word Father to us describes pain, not love, not peace. So we relate to God in a very, very narrow sense because there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of things that minister to us. And God wants to make us new. He wants to make us completely new because when the new wine is put in those wineskins, it ferments and it bubbles over and it'll bust those old wineskins. He wants to renew our minds so He can flow us with His Spirit and to bubble over and to ferment and bubble over. Bubble over and affect our cities, affect the county, affect the state, affect the whole country and the world to be effective, to bubble over into every aspect of our life, into the schools, into whoever we come in contact. You know, it's funny, my husband's always trying to come in contact with people who aren't Christians, which is really funny because he's surrounded by Christians. So, you know, he's prayed and God has put him in different areas, like, you know, he's made contact with his old schoolmates and all that, and of course they're all into bands and music and all that. So he goes there, and his hope is that while he's sitting in the basement watching them play and they're passing around the joint, that he will be able to minister them and bring them, and some of them are coming close, to bring them to know the Lord so that who He is, who the Spirit is within Him, bubbles over and infects those people. Because they're getting older now, you know, and they're starting to look and they're starting to question. You know, one of the things, I'm going to try to make this kind of short because I want us to have a time to pray. In fact, we prayed this morning before we even started, and it's something that I want to do before I have any meetings. So I want, you know, like, this is our last breakfast until the fall, and I want to start praying before the breakfast because I just think it's obviously going to be more effective if you got the Holy Spirit flowing in this area, in the breakfast, in the teaching, in every way. And, you know, Tuesdays are really good. You know, we did the emotions of Jesus, which is really good. I mean, if you really think about the emotions of Jesus, we're always thinking about our emotions and, you know, the love that He can pour out on us and all that. But when you think of Jesus' emotions, it's a whole different thing, you know, because they're pure, they're holy. So these next teachings are in Acts. And I thought, oh, this is really cool. So we had the first chapter of Acts, and there's such a contrast in Acts between the Gospels and Acts. It's amazing the difference, especially in Peter. There's a real difference in Peter. You know, Peter, this was always saying things before he thought, doing things before he thought, always thought he was a little bit more than what he should be. You know, I'll do this, I'll defend you. You know, I'll be there, I'll never leave you, da, 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 da. You know, and Jesus says, I'm the rock, and it's like, yeah, I am the rock. You know, and he was no rock back then, you know. And then Jesus, all the things he's been telling them that's going to happen to him happens. And he tells them on the Last Supper, and of course, Peter says, you know, I'll sacrifice my life for you, da, 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 da. And of course, Jesus says, you know, you will deny me three times. You will deny me three times. That's in Luke, isn't it? I want to find that. Let me look in this one. All right. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and that when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. So he's saying you will turn. You will do this, and then when you turn back, after you have done this thing, when you turn back, then strengthen your brothers. So he knows he's going to do this thing. And he's praying. And I believe he's praying not for him not to deny him, but to turn back, to turn back. And of course, Peter goes, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And so he says, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter denies him three times, and then Jesus turns and looks at him. I always like that phrase, Jesus turns and looks. What is that look? You know, is it like disappointment, failure, sadness, or is it, yeah, but it's like, I know, and I love you, and I know what you did, and I love you. You know, see, Peter? I told you. I told you. And I prayed for you. And Peter sees him and weeps bitterly. Bitterly, he runs out of there. And here is a man that is on the road to being truly broken. Truly broken. You know, a lot of times we have to be truly broken for us to really hear God. Truly broken to really receive what he has to say. And you know, a lot of those times when we're truly broken, when you're going through a really difficult time, that's when you hear God. That's when you hear God. That's when you seek God. And when everything's going fine, you know, he's there, he's with me. But are we listening to him? One of the things I found was really interesting in this whole story of Peter was when, let's see if I can find it here. It's in John. Way down here somewhere. Whoop. I'm not very good with electronics. I'm learning. Is that what you just said? No, I am not. What's that? What are you saying? Yeah. I always remember your husband, Sarah, in here, and all of a sudden he's in the office going, Sarah! Sarah! Everything's crashing around him. Sarah! I don't know how he manages that. Sarah's not around as much. Where is it in John that says, Debbie, all-knowing, that about the fish when Jesus is making the food on the shore? It's John. I know it's in there. Okay, I found it. Okay, I got it. So it's in John 21, and haven't found my right verse yet. Okay, so anyway, Peter's off fishing. What do we do when something happens? we go off and we go fishing, right? We go and we go into the place where we need to go. You know, some of us, some guys go fishing, girls go shopping.
Yeah.
See, if Jesus was trying to meet me, he would have to meet me at some nice restaurant that has lots of good food. Not just fish on a stone. Just kidding. Okay, so Jesus prepares a meal, and Peter comes running to him out of the boat, running full steam towards him. And when they have eaten, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," I'm reading out the Amplified version, okay? This is, start with 15, 21, 15. So he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these, more than others do, with reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, intentional spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father?" Talking about God, the Father. So Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep," listen, "instinctive," not intentional, but instinctive, "personal affection for you as a close friend." So Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, he says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father?" And again, Peter answers, "You know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as a close friend." This is all Peter could give him. This is all he thought he could give him because he was broken. He realized before he proclaimed that he could give him that Father's love. He proclaimed that with his actions. "You are the Son of God." He proclaimed that, but then he looked at himself and he knew that he himself could not give that to him. He could not do that. So again, a third time, Jesus says, "Do you love me with a deep, deep, instinctive personal affection for me as for a close friend, Peter?" And Peter says he was grieved because he knew that Jesus met him right there. And he says, with a saddened and hurt heart, he said that he should ask him the third time, that he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive personal affection for you as a close friend." And then Jesus again said, "Feed my lambs." It never changed. He was always saying, "You're still doing the job that I told you to do. You're still doing that." And the thing with this is God meets us where we're at. Then he pulls us to where he wants us to be. Because you know what happened in Acts, in the second chapter of Acts? He got filled with the Holy Spirit. And do you know, everything about him changed. I mean, he just walks by and his shadow heals people. It's not that all of a sudden he's got the special anointing, which he does, but it's that relationship because he gets filled with the Spirit and he understands. Finally, he understands who God is. He understands that it's not through his strength, it's through the Father, it's through God, it's through the Sovereign Lord, it's through being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when they were in, when they were waiting there in that second chapter, and they were waiting there and they were filled with the Spirit, you know what? They were hungry because Jesus got taken away from them. Their connection to God, their connection to all the spiritual miracles, everything was taken. And then Jesus came down and visited them, showed them who he was, and he was taken up again. And so they had an inkling of what was going to happen, and they were waiting in anticipation. And you know what? A lot of times we wait not in anticipation, but within fear. And God wants us to anticipate, to be excited about him and about his Spirit and who he is, and not be afraid of being filled. But you know what? God's going to meet you where you are, and God will fill you. But you just have to be open. You just have to be open, and you have to be open to hearing who he is. Not who you want to be, but who God is. You know, I just looked up some titles of God. Who is God? God is Almighty. God is Most High. He's Eternal God, Ancient of Days, the Mighty One, the Living God, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God, the Lord God Most High, the Sovereign Lord. He is all things. He is all things. And it is not about what we want, but it's what he wants from us, which is that relationship. And if you want to have that Holy Ghost on fire relationship, you need to hear his voice. You need to be open. And those things that come in that block you, you need to get rid of those things. Because God is our Father. He is not our friend. Friend of God, yeah. But he is our Father. Most importantly, he is our Father. You know, he's the one that kisses those boo-boos away, you know? He's the one that's there for you. You know, a lot of times, you know, when things happen, like within our family, when there's tragedies and sadness and stuff, it doesn't matter that my husband says the right thing. What matters is he's there. His presence is there. And when his presence is there, his daughters know that everything's going to be all right. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. And you know what? It doesn't matter if everything goes all right. It doesn't matter if my life is perfect. But God is there, and everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Life is hard. Life is always hard, and that's okay. You know, it's okay. We work hard, we live hard, but we've got to realize that God is there, and everything's going to be okay. He's there to fill us with his peace, his love, his joy, to have that father-daughter relationship with you because he loves you. He wants to pour that fire on you. He wants to fill you with that fire. What I want to do right now is I want Sarah just to play some worship music, and we're going to play that song after we pray. So play some worship music, and what we're going to do is we're just going to stay still for about 10 minutes, and we're just going to pray. And I want you just to have that time to yourself with God and to take in, because this is what God is telling, because I prayed about this. This is not what I was going to completely do. There's a little bit in there, but This is what God directed me to do, all right? So I had no notes, just some scriptures and some words that he gave me, and this is what he wants. He wants his daughters to come before him. He wants to meet you where you're at, and he just wants to love on you, and he wants you to be willing to listen to him. You know, if you got a pen and he says something, write it down so you'll remember, because he'll talk to you. So why don't you just play that, and I'm just going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to have about 10 minutes, and we're just going to sit still before God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We come before you, Lord, as your children, as your daughters. We pray, Lord God, that you would hear our hearts and that we would hear yours, that we come before you with no pretense, that you would diffuse our very soul with your spirit, that you would infuse it, not diffuse it, but infuse it with your very, very presence, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, speak to us, love us. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No sickness. Oh,
splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Love so amazing.
that Kevin's turn? Anybody, did God say anything to any of you that you would like to share? Anybody want to share anything? Beth. Here, let me, here, you got that? All right. Just so we can hear you.
Yeah, I need to share because I don't always share my life with people and things that have happened in my life and that I need to start sharing.
Good. Anybody else? You should be used to this mic, huh?
When I was praying, I just saw almost like it was similar to a flower, but it had many little like pieces. And it was kind of revealed to me. It was almost like all of us sitting in a circle. Aww. And it goes in with what you just said. And it was kind of like it was opening up. So I don't know if that ties in, but it was kind of like many of the women in the church.
Blossoming.
What you were saying, blossoming, opening yeah. up, blooming, sharing. So yeah. That's all I had.
Sharing is caring.
Anybody else? You don't realize how unique you guys are and what a unique group of ladies you are. You know, you don't find this in a lot of churches that often where we are able to speak and to share our heart and to feel safe. And yeah, I know we have our conflicts and stuff, but, you know, everybody does. But, you know, this is a place of safety. And God just desires an even deeper relationship with you and a deeper relationship with each other. And, you know, and that's a good word about the blossoming, you know, because right now you can just look at yourself as that little bud trying to open. And you'll really start to bloom once you start to listen to God, you know. How many heard God's voice? All right, now even if you didn't, you sit still. Every morning, you sit still and you listen. A lot of times, it's turning those voices off in your head because the voices in your head are louder than God's voice. Do the laundry. This person hurt me. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll tell you, the thing is, I have the same voices and the same struggles you do. The only difference is I was obedient and did this. That's it. I just was obedient. That is the only difference. That's the only difference. I'm not any better. I'm not any more profound. God just used me. But I had the same struggles as all of you. We all do. We're all women, and we have many voices in our heads, and they're not all good. And you have to learn to control them. And I'm telling you, it takes a while. Because you know what that main voice is? That main voice says, you're no good. You're not worthy enough. And brings up every person you have aught with and every person has aught with you and every failure you've ever had will come up when you sit before God. It's not just the laundry that's not done. It's your very who you are, who God created you to be. The enemy comes against that. And I'm telling you, God loves every one of you. And he didn't make a mistake in any of you. I don't really care what that voice says. God says he loves you, and if he says he loves you, he loves you. And if Peter can come to that point by being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving those healings, you can do. He denied Christ. Right in front of him, he denied even knowing him. And he had to come to terms with that. And yeah, you got to come to terms with stuff, and that's okay. That's okay, because we learn and grow. But let God do a healing on the heart. Those issues that you have a problem with, you give them to him and let God heal you because he loves you. There's nobody here that God is pushing away. Everybody here, he's drawn. He's drawn. Now, let's play that song again. And let's the fire one, the one I played before. Right. That one. Right. The party song, the Jesus party song.
Party on, do that.
That's right. You know what? One of the things that God, while I was praying, ladies, one of the things when I was praying, God just says this is the beginning of something. This isn't like the end of something. This is the beginning of something. And if you didn't really hear God, that's okay. Because you're going to hear him. The more you seek him, you will hear him. So the fact that you sat still and were quiet for 10 minutes is a miracle in itself. There's no condemnation in Jesus. And you remember that. All right, let's go. Crank it up. Crank it up. Opportunity. Amen.
Amen.